I'm Tracy Alexander, and welcome home. Home of Sapiens is a place we come to feel better about the world. It's a place to talk about real life in a way that gives us hope that we can move in the right direction. I'm a Vedic meditation teacher, stress management and alignment coach. I help people come out of fear and access their highest potential so that their actions can align with what they say they want. I work first through body and then through mind, because the mind can't update if the body believes a different story. This podcast is here to remind us what we're capable of. Season 2 is about everyday heroes, people who are showing up for life with a pen and a sword and carving their way through their own unique storyline, healing and heart leading and inspiring us as they go. These episodes are the matches that will spark the hero's fire inside of you, the hero that knows that the hard part is not where the story ends. This is where we rise. If you want to learn Vedic meditation or take my body and mind stress management course or dive deeper in my one-on-one alignment mentoring system where you will experience a true rebirth around how you see yourself and how you show up for life, write to me on Instagram at TracyAlexander_ or visit TracyAlexander.co. So let's start by really opening to what we're about to hear. Take a deep breath in and out. Move out of fear and into our hearts. This is Home of Sapiens. So I'm making a little shift in this series to share more personal stories and wisdom that I've pulled from my own life and extracted from the world around me. So I'll be telling some short stories about those tiny yet mighty acts of heroism that we can make and that we have the choice to make on our journey as we continue to grow and evolve in our life, because all we're ever really doing is evolving. So our job is to be on the front foot and be creatively involved in the process of growing rather than waiting for life to hit us in the face. And then we have no choice but to change. Change is happening. Change is coming. So we can either get really good at detecting what needs to be changed and getting on board swiftly with it, or we will be dragged along as we hold on to what is no longer relevant, no longer evolutionary, no longer serving, and we can kick and scream and suffer our whole way through what is happening anyway. So the question is, how quickly can you let go? How quickly can you move? How active can you be in the role of change maker and the creator of a reality that nature is already telling you is yours? It's just a matter of stepping into it and claiming it. So last week, I shared in my email newsletter some insights about why we stay stuck, why we don't move. And really, the reason that we stay stuck is because we fear change, which is actually a paradox, because while we want everything to stay the same, we also want change, because Groundhog Day is a story of a nightmare that he's trying to escape from, right? We do want dynamism. And all superficial fears, these are really rooted in our deepest fear, which is our fear of death. So we want things to stay the same because we're afraid of change. We're afraid of death. We're afraid of letting go, which is what I'm going to dive into today. But it's a paradox because we want change. And when things stay the same for too long, all we want is some diversity, right? So what is it that causes us to resist change? It's that we want to decide how and when things happen to meet our expectations based on how we think the world is supposed to work. Which is actually very limited. So the email that I sent last week came off the back of me finding an old newsletter from about 17 months ago in which I was talking about whether I did or didn't want a wedding with my then fiance. And if you've been listening to this podcast or been following me elsewhere, you'll know that I ended up calling off that engagement a few months after that, I would say. And I often talk about that story because, well, I never thought that getting engaged and calling off an engagement would be part of my story. So that's kind of cool that I have this experience to talk about. But because, as I'm told over and over again, many people in that same situation would just move forward with getting married after getting engaged, even if they knew it wasn't the right thing. And it's kind of frightening to hear how many people responded to me when I called off the engagement by saying, "Whoa, that's so brave." And I thought, isn't getting married to someone who marriage wouldn't be good with the brave thing to do? That's the scarier thing to do. That takes bravery. And if I said that to people, they would reply to my objection by saying, "Yes, but most people would still get married anyway." They'd say, "We've come this far," and they'd see marriage as the milestone that says that they've made it. Or maybe they'd be afraid of the prospect of being alone forever, because we tend to take a feeling that we're feeling now and then expand it over our entire life. Maybe they'd be afraid of what people would think. Maybe they'd be afraid that it means that there's some kind of failure somehow. And when we look at that for a moment, the fears, the thoughts, the conditioning that would cause us to stay in something and stay with something that we know is not what we want, makes me ask, well, what kind of a society have we built for ourselves that so many of us are so scared to change directions, to learn something new and make decisions that are aligned with greater wisdom? And why are we so afraid of what others think? We completely leak our power, allowing the outside world to determine how we feel inside, and our autonomy and our sovereignty, taking us away from our own sense of empowerment and alignment. And sure, it comes from that very primal need of being accepted by the pack. But let's come out of that primitive brain, right? Clearly, that's a stress response to life. And let's use a more evolved perspective. You're a grown-ass adult and you're not at risk of being cast out by following what you know is the most evolutionary choice for you if we go about that in a loving way, in an aligned way, in a respectful way, right? In fact, as I said in my very first podcast episode, you are the source of liberation, both for yourself and others. So as we show others what we are not willing to settle for and how we are able to have full autonomy over ourselves and master our minds, we liberate others through our example. So yes, while breaking up with my ex at the time was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made because I loved him, it was also one of the easiest because I could feel inside of me how non-evolutionary it would be to stay in that relationship. And if I look at it now, that feeling of I can't take this anymore, it had become so unsustainable inside of myself. It was that utter level of frustration that really helped me pack up all of those boxes and move into an endless sea of sublets for about 12 months. But this feeling of misalignment and rubbing up against the edges was a requirement in the name of progressive evolution for me and hopefully my ex-fiance that we part ways. I knew that the way through into the next phase of where I was supposed to be was to let go and make space for a realignment to take place. Now, it doesn't have to get to a point where the tension is untenable inside of you. Our job as we grow and evolve is to get better at being able to detect it before it gets to that unsustainable point, to be on the front foot with being able to detect, okay, this is not something that is sustainable. I am required to move into this next phase, which is going to require a letting go here. But when we are so enmeshed with someone or something, it can take naturally some time to allow yourself to disentangle. Now, of course, I couldn't have known at the time how expansive the split would be. I wasn't asking myself what would be more evolutionary. It wasn't coming from there. I was responding to my experience of life and what it was revealing to me. I could detect the unsustainable elements that were being kept in play through this partnership. I was being fed clear messages, and yeah, they were inconvenient to listen to. But unless I wanted to keep walking through internal quicksand, it was now my job to stop ignoring those things. Now, here's why we stay stuck. I knew that leaving my partner would be painful. I would lose a lot. In the short term, it would cost a lot. There were no guarantees of anything better coming. But what I'd lose is only part of the story. If I only focused on what I might come to regret and what I might end up without, I would never move. And this is what causes this thing we call settling. When we only focus on our fears, what we'll lose, what we'll miss, the pain of letting go, we stay stuck. We stay trapped, misaligned, limited, and in pain. So a lot of the time, we're afraid of change because of what we'll lose. There's a death. Something that once was will be no more. A part of us dies. And our deepest fear is that of death. So that's why we hold on so tight. So in order to be able to move, I also had to open to the possibility of what I'd gain. And as I said at the time, I couldn't have known exactly what I would gain and learn and how much I would heal and elevate as a result of making the decision that I made last year. But I did know that if I stayed, I'd be leaving the feeling of living with deep truth on the table. I'd be saying no to living in true alignment. And alignment is making choices from a healthy place of deserving, rather than making choices from trauma and conditioning. And my soul could not bear the notion of skimping out on myself. Once I knew, once I saw, I couldn't pretend and I couldn't ignore. That came out kind of Dr. Seuss. But that's not what I came here for, right? My soul knew that this is not where the story ended. It was clear that my journey meant moving onwards without the man that I loved, even if it terrified me. And that's the direction the story was meant to go. And here's what I've always known. Most of us wait until it's too late to really start living the life we've been gifted. This idea of being afraid of change and afraid of death and afraid of what we'll lose is the very thing that's causing so much of us to suffer. We're so afraid to let go. So we can complain about life, right? And all of the difficulties it brings. But then the minute that we know it's over, right? The minute we know we're going to die, that's when we say, no, I want to appreciate the opportunity more, right? I didn't yet properly live. Give me more time, right? I heard this beautiful analogy by my mentor about this very concept, about how we'll go to empty our closet and we're going to get rid of some clothes. And then the minute that we're about to give it away, we think to ourselves, oh, maybe I'll actually, you know, give it one more go. Maybe I will find time to wear it now. Now that we're giving it away, all of a sudden we want it, right? So this is just another example of this mechanic in play. But the truth is that the only time that we have to appreciate and use this life is now. We really don't need to wait until the last minute to do what we were born to do. And this is just a moment by moment detecting, right? This is not about, you know, choosing the job that you're going to do for the rest of your life, right? This is about feeling into what it is that you're here to do moment by moment. So then on the other side of my decision to follow what it was that I knew needed to be done, then came the active choice to level up. So once I'd made the call, it had to be worth it, right? We need to be creative in the face of change. We need to take what has been lost. We have to take that death and transform it into something new. And I was here to learn the lessons and to upgrade. I wanted to make this a transformation. I knew that I had to become something new so that I could become a match for what I wanted. I was going to have to let go of whatever mechanics lived inside of me that caused me to walk into the situation that once served me that now no longer did. I had to allow this to be a full upgrade. I knew I had to become something new so that I could become a match for what I wanted. So if I took myself off on holiday and started partying and sleeping around, you know, sure, that might have distracted me from the grief for a moment, but then the grief would eventually come. And even then, I could push it down with buying things and drinking things and eating things, but ultimately, I knew I would walk straight back into the same situation because I wouldn't have updated the deep belief systems that were governing my decision making. I wouldn't have healed the wounds that made that relationship attractive to me and feel familiar to me. If I didn't do that healing work, my decisions would continue to be aligned with my pain. So the first lessons came in locating my strength and my willpower in staying the course, continuing to walk in the direction that I'd set out on for myself. Not because you can't turn around, but because I also know the tricks that our mind and our body can play on us when we're in a state of grief, when we're in a state of letting something die or detox. So I had to be sure to not run back to that oxytocin rush that I found in my bond with my ex, right? I had to sit through the discomfort of the withdrawal from all of the feelings that I used to locate inside of him or experience as a result of communing with him. I had to now grieve him as the place that would trigger many of my feelings. And then I had to find that inside of myself. I had to find my willpower to walk forward when the rose-tinted glasses that seemed to find their way onto our eyes in the immediate aftermath of a breakup came to try and confuse me about my choice, right? Chemical and energetic reclamation after relationships are real things. And so I committed to going inside and doing the work. I opened myself to feeling the feelings. And that's part of what I help people do in my programs and my one-on-one containers is being able to feel brave enough to feel. This does start in the nervous system, to stop running and masking and to develop a healthy relationship with your emotions. And I also don't believe in staying stuck for longer than you need to and battling alone. So I sought assistance from healers to help me cut cords that I'd entangled with my ex. So yes, I'm a coach, but I also always have coaches, because I want to evolve with as much grace as possible. And that's what coaches and mentors help us do. Now, when I then went on my Vedic meditation teacher training in Bali, more opportunities came to start reprogramming myself. I was given the opportunity to look at myself fully. So after meditating for up to 14 hours a day for 3 months, I saw my conditioning. I sat with the feelings of shame, not enoughness, unworthiness, embarrassment, fear, all of the stories and core beliefs that had been guiding me up until that point. I saw experiences in my life and what I'd made them mean and how they had created the lens through which I perceived the world. I saw how my interpretations of the world had led me to some conclusions about myself and how the world operates, and how these beliefs had actually guided my decisions. I saw how I aligned with people, places, and things that had felt familiar to me or protected me from feeling things that I didn't want to feel. And we all do that, mostly unconsciously. But as I went through this process of really looking, I held myself through all of these intense feelings, the rage, the frustration, the sadness, the anger, as these memories untangled themselves. But these were now things that were no longer relevant. They had been in my system, governing me, but they were no longer relevant to my life. This is what needed to be removed. And while this experience on a feeling level wasn't easy, this is ultimately what we want. We want the upgrade, which means that we need to rewrite the programming. So the old programming was now being highlighted so that I could delete it and replace it with that which was more optimal. And the rewards for going through that kind of a process did have some instant gratification attached to them, right? Because I was brave enough to open up and look into the darkness, it meant that I opened up to looking at everything. So that meant that I also opened up to feeling the intense feelings on the other end of the spectrum, the deepest, most expansive feelings of love and gratitude and humility and power and happiness. And I experienced a few full body orgasms, which were triggered by meditation alone, which is in and of itself another conversation. But this is how it works. If we want to heal, we need to first feel. In order to feel first, things need to be revealed, right? And so now let's go back to what this means in terms of moving toward change. During this huge upgrade, I lost big aspects of my former self. So as much as this was a becoming, first what had to happen was an unbecoming. I had to allow parts of my old identity to fall away. But through this process of deep stress release through meditation and through advanced techniques, which I teach now, the claws and the hooks of these old patterns were removed. And so then they're almost just like floating around in the wash. And some of them are either just either wash away naturally over time, and others you need to kind of sweep away. But since the claws have been taken out, it's much easier process, right? You're actually able to separate yourself. When you see an old pattern or see an old desire or see a thought, you can really just notice it and say, oh, okay, I know what that is, and hold yourself through that feeling moving through without needing to act on it, because you know you don't want to take the step that would move you back in the direction that you've once been. You know how that goes. You've done the research. So it's much easier to allow that feeling and that desire to come through. You know it's a past experience, not relevant to your present or your future, and you can just let it pass through and start walking in a very different direction, the one that you choose, the one that you want. So I'd almost unplugged myself from my old stories, and then there's a space. And now it's about beginning the process of rediscovery. So then what is so scary about this? Shouldn't this be very exciting? I mean, it is, but a lot of us find this idea really scary. And if you asked Melvin Polon, who was the man that I interviewed in episode 2 of series 1, it was a very popular podcast, so I recommend going back and listening to that if you haven't already, he would say, there's nothing scary about this process. They're just feelings.
We've got two choices in our lives. Either we go into our feelings and we become a hero, or we don't go into our feelings and we let our wounds dominate us for the rest of our lives and we're the ultimate victim. And we've got two choices in life. You're going to be a hero or you're going to be a victim. You want to be a victim, that's okay, that's your choice. But you need to be aware that you're making a choice to be a victim. What is stuck inside, what emotion we're not owning, owns us. Mm-hmm. It acts like an engine inside us, and it drives my judgments and my behavior and my attitude and everything. It's either I take ownership of it or it has ownership of me. And those are just the two choices. And I discovered that the only way to feel better is to let the feeling come, because it's a feeling. It's the music of my soul. I've just got to let it come. It's pointless fighting it, because if I fight it, I suffer. The resistance creates the suffering.
And he's right. We're so disconnected from feeling our feelings. But deeper than that still is that we are afraid of changing. We are afraid of letting go of old beliefs and ways of being, because if we change, what has to die? If I'm no longer those things, if I don't hold those beliefs or think those thoughts, who am I now? And this can be overwhelming. There can be a grief as we sit in front of this blank page. There's this in-between phase where we're experimenting, right? What if I made these healthier choices? What does life look like when I respect myself? What does life look like when I'm not so afraid of what I used to be afraid of? What does life look like when I am able to impose boundaries with ease? What does life look like when I ask for what I really want? But this is really so beautiful, this process, because we're now free from those repeating cycles that were causing us so much suffering before. All of the things that we were complaining about and saying that we didn't want, we've now found some freedom from them. And it's so important that we acknowledge this and to know that deeper and deeper layers of freedom will come over time. Now, I also want to share with you specifically some of the things that I did after the intense process of healing both before and during my Vedic meditation teacher training to ensure that I could continue to support the evolutionary process until it was complete, until this cycle felt like it had completely integrated. So I reminded myself that if I made the choice of re-entering the patterns that I had been living with before, what would have been the point of me going through all of the discomfort of untangling the conditioning and healing the belief systems and sitting with all of the shame, etc., and being, you know, quote unquote homeless and really just meaning not my own place, living on friends' couches, wrestling with myself, trying desperately to find love and forgiveness for myself. You know, all of those nights that I stayed up crying while I was in the relationship, the anxiety that I lived with in my stomach and then listening to that and then taking the leap. What would have been the point of that if I allowed the short-term desire of trying to mask a present feeling of discomfort to override the months of deep work that I'd done? And what I mean by that is if my ex-partner reached out to me, right? And the desire is there to engage in a way that perhaps you once did, or, you know, to go to what feels good or easy. I really tuned into which part of me was making the choice. Was it the evolutionary part of me, the aspect of me that knows what my highest self once deserves, is, and is moving toward aligning with? Or is it my pain, my fear, my stress? So through each stage of the journey, I talked myself through it with love and compassion, and I let myself feel all of it with honesty. I let myself see any doubt or any desire, any, you know, movement toward wanting to lean back in that direction. I let myself feel all of it, acknowledging it for what it was. I didn't banish any of it. At some points along the journey, when I was required to impose some boundaries to ensure that the process could be more seamless and more supportive, imposing boundaries in the past in that particular space, I found really challenging because of old beliefs and systems. When I came to understand more about boundaries as channels for love and redirecting energy that is more evolutionary, I got better and better at communicating those boundaries. And when I started that process, at the beginning, it was more challenging. So I put structures in place to allow myself to find it easy. So I did things that were, for me, very supportive. Like the first time I imposed a boundary, I just allowed myself to have the rest of the day to myself. And I turned on Disney and I watched Disney for the rest of the afternoon. And that was my reward for having imposed a boundary. And I let myself fully have it. And then it just got so much easier from there. I remember even imposing that boundary, watching Disney and sitting on the floor and just crying to myself, releasing all of the fear and also celebrating myself for having taken this step, knowing that I'd grown. In moments where I might have felt lonely, right? Again, which part of me was feeling lonely, I asked. And then I would flash forward to the next day. If I made choices from this moment of loneliness, which would come from a misperception, which would come from my pain, my fear, my stress, my limited self, my small self, if I flash forward to the next day, I would think to myself about how good I would feel that I honored myself and did the right thing by expanding the time horizon and not needing to act with this short hedonistic desire. I was able to extend that time horizon because my physiology had been cleared of a lot of stress, right? So that became so much easier to just relax into myself and say, no, I don't need to make this decision right now, and allow whatever that feeling is to ride its way through. I always reminded myself that I'm not alone, that I'm not actually lonely. What is really loneliness? Perhaps it's just a feeling of wanting to share your love. And there are multiple places to experience love and share love, to give love. And I found a way to have fun inside of myself and with myself. If I needed, say, physical contact, I would hug a pillow. And I would let that feeling ride its way through. And I would allow myself to do all of this, whatever was needed that was supportive and nurturing while I was in recovery, while I was learning how to take stronger and stronger steps, while my nervous system recalibrated to this new version of me. Okay, so now here we are on the other side of letting go. And we're now asking the question, now what? What do we want? Who do we want to be? What kind of relationships feel nourishing to me? How can I take this new awareness and use it and operate from there? Now, these kinds of questions might seem impossible from where you're sitting right now, but that's because you're not yet the version of you on the other side of the change. Once you've done the healing and made the shifts, then we're already operating from that place. So it feels a lot more obvious. Right? We can't know what step 17 is going to look like when we're on step 3. But from step 16, step 17 feels far more obvious. So we're just going one step at a time. We do the next right thing, the thing that our body is telling us we know we need to do. But we will only move when we do, and not 1 minute sooner. So let's absolutely be gentle. We gently hold ourselves through any fear, through any resistance. We acknowledge the feelings of doubt and worry. We recognize that they come from the state of consciousness that we're in now. And we acknowledge that it's natural if you don't like the unknown. The brain likes to know. It's what makes us feel safe. The human brain actually just prefers to know an outcome one way or another, just to take the edge off. Even if we know it's going to be bad, we at least want to know it's going to be bad, right? If it doesn't know what's around the corner, then it can't keep us out of harm's way. So it's a natural mechanic for trying to keep us safe. And our brain's disdain for uncertainty, this is what causes it to make up all sorts of untested stories hundreds of times a day, because this uncertainty apparently equals danger. So this is why we'll keep choosing things that are bad for us, just because we know them. That's where the saying, better the devil you know, comes from. It's really an acknowledgement that we will keep choosing what causes us pain and suffering over the possibility of liberation, because at least we know which pain and suffering we're choosing. But we also do have to acknowledge that we do not know ever, even when we think we do, because we are not the only factor in any given situation. There's, yes, what we've seen before. There are the laws of probability, absolutely. And that is why many of us stay stuck, because we play in the realm of likely and probable and possible based on what we've seen before. Meantime, others who have refined their capabilities of perception, they love to play in the unknown because they recognize that everything is the unknown, and they like to play with the edges of what could be possible. And these are the people who have also successfully managed to shift their focus from what has been lost or what could be lost to what we can and have also gained through this process of letting go and changing. So what Vedic meditation helps us do over time is discern the difference between where our desires are coming from. It helps us get better at moving beyond all of the mind chatter that tries to convince us about what is possible, because that mind chatter is coming from fear, speculation, calculation, and the part of the intellect that is trying to predict what could happen in the future based on what you've experienced in the past. And this mechanic doesn't allow us to tune into the present moment in its purest form. It doesn't allow us to detect with what we call our fine level of feeling, of perceptual capabilities, what the most evolutionary thing for you to do would be. This is the part of our architecture that we want to be able to use. Our fine level of feeling allows us to detect what the most evolutionary thing for you to do would be. So how do we develop that? Well, once we remove stress from the body and expand our level of awareness, we can more easily detect which part of us is making the decision. Is it our stress, or is it that free aspect of you that is most interested in what is most evolutionary? Ultimately, we can resist what we know is the right thing to do in favor of avoiding momentary discomfort and pandering to that fear of change. But so long as we do that, the evolutionary forces of nature that want you to grow and want you to align with what you deserve will continue to pummel you until you are forced to move, until you can't ignore anymore. So you can either get on the wave of change as it comes, get on the front foot and flow with it, or you can hold on, resist, and try and keep things the same and maintain the status quo. And eventually you'll be dragged through the process of change until you're forced to let go. So the better and quicker you get at letting go and adapting and fearlessly leaping into the unknown, the greater ease and more rapid expansion you'll experience. Thank you so much for listening. If you feel that this episode could be helpful to someone, please share it. And please also rate and leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you did like it. If you're listening on Spotify, click the rating stars at the top of the Homo Sapiens podcast page. And of course, you can also screenshot this episode and tag me on Instagram at TracyAlexander__ or at home.of.sapien. I love you. Have an amazing day. And I'll see you next week.